Welcome, welcome to Between the Sheets. Bam, 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 bam. Yeah, this is episode two.
Three.
So, episode three of season two. I meant to say season two, episode three, but I just put like episode, whatever. Don't
Think it too hard.
play as fuck up to season two, episode three, period. And we're back with another banger. Who used to say
It's some vlogging family, but I can't think of who it is.
that? We're back with
But it's somebody who do vlogs.
I'm gonna have to figure that out. Like YouTube vlogs. Okay. I just caught up on all my shows. Well, I'll be watching The Gilded Age. So I had to catch up on what they were doing.
I need to catch up on the Gilded Age. I think the last episode I watched was the one where he had bought all those shares of stock for his company
Oh yeah.
to pretty much put that bill back into place.
Yep. And leave out a man in the po house. Like, oh, you wanna play?
And then Buddy killed himself.
What I'm saying, shot himself dead, honey. He shot himself dead.
It's rough in the Gilded Age,
And what's
man.
fucked up is, as soon as they left the office, he was like, "All right, I'm gonna give him a break." He didn't even let the man.
We didn't even give him a chance to give him a break.
Okay.
Like, out of here.
It was literally like that same day. Like he was like, "I'm gonna give him a break. I ain't gonna like I fuck with him enough, you know. I'm gonna let him make it." I bet the other man was like, "Damn, I'm glad I ain't think too rashly."
Buddy said, I'm out of here. Can't take it.
Can't take it. Some people just cannot handle failures. Like they'll never make it in the real world.
Like, if you're ready to kill yourself over that. But I guess he said he had appearances to keep up, and now he just won't appear. But anyway, sure.
But anywho, this week's book is by Love Belvin. It's her newest book, and it's called Mercy Me. No, it's really just called Mercy. I threw in that me. Mercy. Lord have mercy, whatever Chloe Bailey be saying. I hate that song,
You
but
really and you hate her. I'm convinced that you just don't like little Chloe.
I don't care for her as a little as a human. I mean, I'm not going to talk bad about her craft or, you know, whatever. I just don't. And I love hate Hallie. I love Hallie.
I think people like Hallie because Hallie, I guess, seems more authentic and Chloe seems a little forced, but to each his own.
Yeah, I love Hallie, and it's for that exact reason. Chloe is trying to force herself down our throat, and she's trying to force her sexuality down our
Not
throat.
even her forcing herself down our throat because Chloe is very much so talented. I will give her that. But she can just stand on the talent alone.
She can. She don't need to do all the extra she was doing during Black History Month. What was that, like Black History program that she did? That Juneteenth program she did last year.
And she was really sexy.
Somebody
Very provocative.
said, "Girl, it's Juneteenth."
But you are talented enough, honey, that you don't have to force the sexy on us. We like you. We like you.
Girl, read the room. Juneteenth is not the place to do all of this, but that's neither here nor there. So this book is called Mercy by Love Belvin. And honestly, it's that story, ages old as time, rich girl, poor boy story, basically. So you have two characters, and I'm gonna get into Jazz first because he has the more complex storyline. So Jazz is in his early 30s, and basically he's just getting out of prison. Now, he went to prison for gun charges, but honestly, he went to prison for
A little murder, the murder
yeah, he went on a little murder. So basically, he had a deal with these guys, and he was like, "Hey, yeah, I'll carry the hit for you, but in exchange." You know, Jazz wasn't your run-of-the-mill average like drug dealer. He was already making moves when he was like in his early 20s. So he was like, in exchange, he'd always have this interest in the construction. He was like, in exchange, I want this business, right? It was this construction company. He was like, in exchange for me doing this hit, I want this business. And so they were like, okay. So he did the hit. They shouldn't have gotten him, but his friend left some guns in his car. So basically, they
Send
got him on
one
some
over
gun
there.
charges. And them gun charges, they wouldn't let go because at the end of the day, and he really didn't fight the gun charges because he was like, I'll take the gun charges over murder three any day. So he took the gun charges. He did his 10 years in prison, which was a lot for fucking gun charges, if you ask me. I'm like, I need to do at least like two or three and then be up out of here. I mean, this is excessive to me. But anyway, whole time he's in prison, he's basically keeping his businesses and his different ventures afloat. Like he's running a club, a nightclub from jail. He's running like construction company from jail. Like he got his hands into all these little different pots. So he's basically in jail, sitting in jail, multifaceted, doing more
So
than I'm doing
pause.
out on the outside.
Could you imagine, like in real life, being in prison, running multiple businesses? Like, where
People
is
do it
that
every
man?
day. People do it
Where
every
is
day, B.
that man at? I need to meet him. You in prison running businesses like that? You,
Well, you
that's
know, I watched
why.
the episode of Snapped.
That is
And
my man.
this ain't running business, but I watched the episode of Snapped, and this woman was like a CEO at one time. And so she fell in love with one of her prisoners and they started this relationship. And he was in jail controlling her life.
Running her
Basically, like, oh,
wagon.
you need to be calling me at this time. You need to be doing this. And like she just felt so overwhelmed and so stressed because he was in jail now, like basically harassing and running her life from jail. Like, you need to wear this color. I don't know if you don't have it on. Da 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 da. But she went at his next court date, she went inside and like killed him because he had ran her that crazy
Yeah,
from in
turn
prison. Baby,
around.
cut the phone off.
Girl, just ignore him. He's in jail. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do?
Baby girl, just ignore him. I'm like, you really gonna let this man drive you this far in prison? That's crazy to me.
And clearly she was crazy because she got buddy on out of here.
She did. But yeah, Jazz is running all these extracurriculars in prison, but then he gets out and his friend is basically like, hey, when you get out, you need to get acclimated back to society. You've been in jail, you've been like this singular focused. You don't have really any social skills for the past 10 years. You need to get acclimated back into society. And I would like to see see a therapist, right? So he's like, a therapist? I don't need no therapist, as a lot of black men say.
I was about to say, I really appreciate a black man who sends another black man to get help. I like
I
that.
really appreciate the black man in therapy too, because I feel like we act like we don't need it so bad. As somebody who's seen a therapist most of their life, since like age 12, I've been in and out of therapy.
Therapy is
Is
necessary.
it working? Who
I mean, you're still here, so it's got to be. It's got to be working.
But I am actually very aware of things in general and like emotional things and like just triggers, and I'm very aware. Now, do I always be like that? But I can go, yes, that's a trigger. Like, that's what's going on. This is why I'm acting this way. And I can try to rein it and stop it. But am I healed? Of course not. But I really appreciate like black people that seek therapy, because I feel like we tend to push all our problems to like the side, or they just have other ways of like coping, and we have horrible communication skills that I feel like that therapy helps us work out too. Because I feel like in the black community we have this like, let's not talk about it.
And that's the issue. We don't talk about it. We sweep a lot of stuff under the rug that shouldn't be swept under the rug.
I was like,
But I
yeah,
appreciate the black mental health in this book. I
I
really do.
do, because they're both in therapy, and that's how they meet. Ashira is basically, she's in her early 30s as well, 31-ish, and she's basically running her father's company. Her father owns this building company, like they're builders, and that term was just so, I just want to be like, why can't y'all say construction? Y'all both work in construction.
Because it's construction. I mean, granted, Ashira's daddy owns the construction
The
company,
company, but it's construction. Y'all both
but
work in construction.
construction.
Like the whole I'm a builder thing would always just throw me off.
Because
We're
she was a
builders
builder and he was a laborer.
and laborer. No, y'all both worked in construction. Whether who
Right.
pushing the papers or who actually laying the concrete, you work in construction.
Shit. Like, bitch, you ain't special, but we'll get there.
So basically, Ashira is running her father's construction company. I'm humbling her. Now, is it a well-off construction company? Yes. But she's running her father's construction company. Like, let's call a spade.
Please and thank you.
And basically, that's not, you know, basically catering, taking over her dad's company because, you know, dad wants to leave his company to somebody. He ain't got nobody else really to leave it to. So, of course, she has to come in and take it over. That's not really what she wants to be doing with her life. Her passion is dancing. That's what she went to school for. That's what she still really does in her free time, is dancing. So basically, she's in therapy to deal with the fact that she's miserable with her life, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like I have to do this, but I don't want to. And so that's where they meet. So those are our two characters. I told you, Jazz had a bigger storyline than Ashira.
He has more substance.
He does. not saying that the girl, like, I mean, but she's the exact person who I expect her to be from her circumstance. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if my dad owned a construction company, I would probably be her, you know? She's exactly who you would expect her to be.
She is. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah.
No razzle dazzle. She's just that girl.
Exactly. So she basically is in therapy. She's at her therapist when they meet. And before therapy, there's this like coffee shop across the street that she usually frequents. And she sees him before in one of the therapy sessions, but then she sees him getting coffee and she saunters up to him and basically approaches him. Now, the first time she saw him, she already put a label on him because she saw he had some worn Timberlands on and, you know, kind of like, I think like a bubble coat or something. I'm not sure. I don't remember exactly what he had on.
It's something, you know, like a hood.
She basically had on some hood nigga clothes. She had already went, oh, this a hood nigga in her mind, right? Mm-hmm. And so she was intrigued by the fact that this hood nigga is seeing her very expensive therapist, you know?
Right. Because where he get the money from?
And basically, that's how she talked. Basically. And so she approaches him and she's basically like, oh, hi, you know, introduce herself, blah, blah, blah. And immediately, Ashira is always insulting when she opens her mouth. Always insulting. When she opens her mouth, it's something insulting that's always gonna fall out. Like, and I'm guessing she doesn't realize she's doing it because I'm pretty sure she's probably used to her father talking to people like that, or she grew up around mm-hmm. people talking to people like that. But every time she opens her mouth, it's insulting. So basically, she opens her mouth and she's basically like, "Hi, I'm blah blah blah. What do you do? How can you see my therapist?" Basically.
Like, how can you even afford this very expensive therapist?
And he's just kind of like, bitch, what? And he gets up, like, basically, like, I'm really not telling you nothing. Like, bye.
Turned off. He had enough.
Yeah. And so that kind of, she was like, well, I'm a builder. Like, basically saying, if I tell you what I do, you got to tell me what you do, too. And he was still basically like, say less.
Say less, Mom. And I say less as in I understand say less. Like, he really wanted her.
To say less. Say less. And I talked to Wallen about it. I'm like, this guy, that I hate when he says that because he says it in a term of, like, be quiet. And that's not how we communicate say less down here in the South.
But saying the South say less mean, all right, bro, I got you. I understand. Say
like,
less.
Say less. You ain't got to say no more because I already got you. We already here. We already understand you. What's happening.
Right.
Say less then to them means shut up. Like, I'm not having this discussion with you.
What? But you know what? I guess, in a sense, it's kind of the same thing. Like, say less, like, I'm not giving you no more. And you saying say less to a person that's telling them not to give you any more. So, I mean, I get it.
I guess. But I would have been fucked up. Someone would have been like, say less, Courtney. Wait a minute.
I have just a little bit more that I wanted to get off my chest.
Okay, but I'm not done yet. Okay, thank you. But so that honestly, that little diss that he did, it kind of intrigues her. And so she's very intrigued by him. So they end up still steady having these constant run-ins because honestly, Ashira making her business too. Well, they ran at the end to each other at this other construction site because she was just going out and looking at some of the work because they needed some new people at her firm. and she saw him there. And so they, you know, chopped it up again, and she saw that he was chopping it up with one of her mentors. And basically she's like, dang, like she know him too. Like, who is this guy? You know, like this is my mentor, and he's up here chopping it up with him. Like they like old pals. Like that's crazy. And so she's deadly intrigued by him. So then she starts like basically trying to like reach out or whatever. Now, Ashira has this boyfriend named Austin, who's like this actor of sorts. So she's like a mini celebrity herself, only because of her boyfriend. They got together before he was like big famous. So as his fame grew, she was just known as his girlfriend. So she always be like, I got a man. And she would just be all in her feelings because Jazz would never put any of his personal life or give her any of his personal life, but he doesn't have to. And that's like a boundary that we need to accept from people. People don't have to give you any of their, you know,
The information, right?
they don't
Like
have to.
if they say no, nah, I'm not telling you, then they just accept
And be
it.
like, okay, because for me, you don't got to tell me once, not nah, ain't none of your business. Because now I don't want to know nothing else about you.
Okay, then
Baby, you only got to tell me once. Now nah, that's
bet.
none
You
of your
ain't got to
business.
worry about me. You
Oh,
ain't
that'll
got
do
to
it. You
about
don't get to
me.
worry about me. You ain't got to worry about me.
I'm out of here. Not that invested in your life.
Baby, I don't give a fuck. Honestly, I was asking
Know
to be
what? This
nice.
ain't got shit to do with shit, but I think that's why I'd be mad if somebody blocked me on social media. Like you really took the time out of your day
To think
to
that I give a
block
fuck.
me because you think I give a fuck about your life. That really fucks with me that you think I care that much. Now I'm pissed off because you think I care.
And what's usually fucked up is I'd be like blocked for months before I realize I'm blocked.
Right. Like when I think about you and I go to like look and see, you know, I wonder what so and so doing and I can't see your stuff.
I'd be like, wow. I found out I was unfriended from somebody like that way. Like, I was like, dang. Because for one, their post was getting like really, really annoying, but I had like just passed by them or whatever. And then I was like, I think I was talking to somebody. I was like, you know, I ain't seen such and such annoying ass posts in a while. Maybe they done finally chilled out, right?
No, you unfriended.
I was unfriended, I was like, oh, okay.
Okay.
I was like, well, you did me and you a favor, honestly.
I guess they were sick of me too. It
So,
happened.
yeah. Where was I in this book? Oh, yeah. Ashira got this boyfriend named Austin. Really, he ain't shit, and everybody know he ain't shit, but Ashira.
But Ashira, everybody but Ashira.
And, you know, basically he ain't never around. And it's always she has to bend over backwards to spend time with him. Like, because my thing is, if you a celebrity, you got access to all of the resources in the world. There should be no reason why I don't see you. And as my girlfriend, if I know, because Ashira does all of her a lot of her work remotely because she was going on vacations and shit like that. She just takes her laptop and does a lot of her work remotely sometimes. If I know this, my thing is, if you my person, I'm like, so I'm mad because you ain't here with me and you can do
Right,
your work remotely.
like fly out to me. Come see me.
Yes, I have to be here for this, thanks this, but I'm sending the plane for you because you can work remotely, so you can work from my bed. Thanks.
Well, sure thought she had a something. Thought she
Girl, she
had
thought she
a
had
something.
something until basically she found out that he was cheating on her with some other socialite celebrity named Brielle. And you know what I was about to say? These famous people that love be writing about, I don't know nothing. Like, I be trying to put actual famous people to them, but honey, they little names be all over the place.
Well, when she did Shiraz and Erica, I know that's Kanye and Kim. But somebody else that was
Brielle reminded me, put me in the sense of Rihanna for some
about to say
reason.
Brielle's probably Rihanna, if I had to guess. Like if I had to put her with a celebrity. But I know for a fact that Erica and Sherez are definitely Kim and Kanye, because it's giving, because they got a kid named South or West or something. Because his name is like Sherez East. And then the Erica girl, she got like sisters and the mama is over them and stuff. So that's definitely Kim and Kanye.
Yeah.
But I really want to know like who everybody else is.
The little rapper they went to go see, it was given very much Future for some reason. I don't know.
Oh, whatchamacallit. I've read his books too. What's his name? Young Lord.
Yeah, Young Lord.
It does give Future, but Love thinks she Love, you think you sleep. Anyway.
She do. She do. She thinks she sleep. Also, I like how I like how you meet other people. You always see other people from her other books in the stories.
Yeah, they all like connect.
Mm-hmm.
Because Asmere is in this one, you know, and I am a
Asmere fan.
Divine fan, honey. I love him.
When I saw him, I was like, "Ooh, look at Wild Boy."
Mm-hmm.
Not Divine, honey.
Hey, Divine.
My Divine done made it into the book. So, yeah, her boyfriend ends up cheating on her, and basically she goes into this little bout of depression. And Jazz comes over to take, you know, basically check up on him. And he's like, girl, you gotta get over this. Like, you're doing too much. And you know what? I feel like it was only like 2 days. And everybody was like, you need to get over this. Bitch, what? It's only been 2 days.
I guess because everybody knew, like, the Austin character really wanted shit. And it's kind of like, girl, you didn't even spend that much time with him anyway. Move on.
It's only been 2 days.
Like, it's, that happened on Sunday. It's Wednesday. Go find you somebody else.
Like, I just walked in on this nigga cheating.
Walked in, like, witnessed it. Thought she was getting a surprise, honey, and she walked was surprised, all right.
To him butt naked with another bitch, and y'all want me to be over in 2 days. This is crazy. What's crazy? It was crazy is y'all. Not me.
Really got me.
Y'all. Talking. But so Jazz comes over, and he basically helps her get her shit together and, you know, move forward. But then, now that she's broken up, now that she's single, she really be like, I'm attracted to him. I love him. I want him. I'm attracted to him. Like, but she's still basically insulting him. Anytime like he pisses her off in some sense, she comes back like with the insult. And it don't really even be pissing her off. It's just basically he don't feed into the privilege and the, you know, the rights that she thinks that she automatically has.
Like, he don't spoil her anymore. She's already spoiled.
Yeah. And she'll be like, well, you're just a laborer, thugaboo. Because I would have punched her in her face by now. By now, I would have punched her in her face. Because it's only so many insults you're going to throw my way.
Like, bitch, I got more money than you.
It's only so many insults you're going to throw my way, sis. But so now she's like basically trying to force her way into his space. Like, she done forced her way at this man's cousin barbecue.
I'm about to end the family barbecue.
Then found a way to uninvite, get his girlfriend uninvited and herself invited, honey. Ain't that crazy? Because Jazz is interviewing wives. And really, when I say interviewing wives, he interviewing wives.
He really is. He just dating bitches just to see if they are marriage material. Because he is ready to settle down. He has a 5-year plan and a wife is in it.
It's included, okay? But what do you think about, like, his dating plan? Like, how do you think about that? If a man came up to you and was like, I want to see, you know, I want to date you and see how well we will be together. I'm not going to date you for any longer than 2 months. If we work within those 2 months, we can continue. But if not, you know, I'm just going to cut you off. I don't know if I'd be able to be like, okay.
Yeah, I don't know if I would be able to be okay with it, but I also would appreciate the honesty. So
I would appreciate the fuck out of the honesty.
So him saying, like, I'm dating you and one other person at a time because I'm in the market for a wife, I can appreciate. But I feel like that also puts a lot of pressure on the relationship. So it's not going to flow as naturally as it probably could have had you not told me that you were in the market for a wife and you dating me and one other bitch. And so now I'm in
competition. I mean, you could tell me that you're in the market for a wife. I don't have a problem with that. You can definitely say, I'm looking for my wife. Like, right? That's why I'm dating. In the end, you could have just been like, oh, yeah, I don't, you know, I don't think we're clicking. And then move around. Like, you
don't give me a time frame.
And don't give me a time frame. And don't tell me I got competition.
Because, I mean, at the end of the day, if you're dating, I know I have competition. I know I need to stand out. But now you done put it out there, and now I'm stressed.
Mm-hmm. And now I don't even want you. Now that bitch can have you.
Because how she even intrigue you? What about her make you like her?
And then Ashira be talking about his little dates. He said that Cynthia was built like a linebacker.
She said, and then she be called, they pretty much all sound homely.
They do.
But then when you see the girl that he was with, like at the barbecue, when she meet the girl that he was with before he went to prison, now you get it. You get why he doesn't want somebody that is like that. Because the girl that he was with before he went to prison is a lot like Ashira, but the hood version. Mm-hmm. She got designer clothes and designer bags and all that. But you know, and she played in the face while he was gone. So you get it. Like, you understand why he ain't fucking with the quote unquote bad bitches.
You understand why he ain't fucking with your type no more.
But Ashira ain't fucking with the fact that he ain't fucking with her type either. She can't handle the fact that he may not want her.
And then after the barbecue, Ashira then turns around and then just invites herself back to his home. Like, oh, yo, tell your mama to cook for me. I'm coming over. Huh, bitch? I would never tell a nigga to tell his mama to cook for me unless we was in, like, a relationship.
And then she I'd also like, made the statement that I don't care about you living in the hood. So you're going
to oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
I appreciate the fact that you are accepting me for who I am.
Girl, what the fuck are you even talking about?
I don't mind that you live in the hood.
And then she's gonna say, you don't got roaches, do you? Ma'am.
Oh, girl.
Like, just say less. Ashira, say less.
Say less. Talk too much. Talk too much. Hell.
I would be like, nah, if you don't think my mama has got roaches, you ain't gotta come over here.
You didn't have to come over here.
Because fuck you.
Because at the end of the day, why does every person every person like that put roaches in the projects?
People in the projects has actually be cleaner than.
Cleaner than a motherfucker. Because you know what? They got to go through inspections.
Mm-hmm. Regularly. Speaking of, my house was so clean for inspections. I was like, oh, who lives here?
What house is this? I don't even live here.
Who lives? Not me.
What's amazing to me is how clean your house can be for an inspection and then the following day.
Girl, they'll be towed back up.
It's a shit show. Like, what be happening? Like, what do I be doing?
First of all, none of Callie's things were here because, you know, she had went to my sister's house for the week. So none of her things were here. And I didn't realize how much shit she had around my house.
But not Callie had packed her luggage up and took it with her.
Packed all her shit and took it with her, huh? And Tia was like, why'd you send all of her stuff? I'm like, because these are her toys. She may need them. She may need
enjoys these things.
But anyway, so she goes to his mom's house and his mom cooks, and basically they're having like this grand old time. Because she had kissed him in a restaurant. She had just bust up and kissed him out of nowhere, and he was mad as hell that she kissed him too.
Cause now he in his feelings.
Because he was like, fuck. Like, because he had been fighting his attraction to her. But she just kind of like pushed it into forward focus with the kiss. So now he's like, fuck. Now I got to like acknowledge the fact that I'm attracted to her. And now that I've like basically kissed her and tasted her, like, I like
this. I want more.
So they she goes to his mom's house, and basically Ashira, once again, she's a manipulative little cat. she really is. She tricks him into basically, you know, oh yeah, we can go in just a minute, basically until they fall asleep. And so she ended up staying the night. Well, he wake up in the middle of the night, and basically she all snuggled up next to him. And basically he like tired of fighting her feelings. So they don't have sex that night, but they do get intimate that night. And so the next day she has to go out of town for like a wedding. And so she basically calls him and was like, I just want to see you. I want to finish what we started the other night, blah, blah, blah. He was like, well, I'll see you when you get back. Like that. So when she gets back, he takes her on a trip to the fair. They do like this little fair date, which I think is cute. You don't think a fair date's cute?
I do think it's cute. I can appreciate a fair date.
So it just makes you feel it. A fair date makes you feel like a teen.
Mm-hmm.
He gets very much so teen vibes.
But I'm really only here for the funnel cake, so you know.
Girl, whatever. Funnel cakes and curly fries with the onions in them. Ooh, wee!
So whatever, honey.
Ain't nothing like some fair curly fries with them little grilled onions in them. God damn.
Oh, Jesus. This is the fattest podcast.
They need a restaurant that just has straight fair food in it. You know? Because how many people go to the fair just for the fair food? They need a restaurant that sells pickles, turkey legs, curly fries, you know, all that bullshit. But so in the lemonade, you know, the fair lemonade be made with cocaine.
Crack. Cause what's the simple syrup recipe? That's all I need to know.
Cause it's just lemonade.
What's the sugar to water ratio?
Because it's just lemonade. It's just lemonade. Why does it taste like this?
And I wonder if it's because it's hot outside. You be so hot and so thirsty, and that's why it's so good. And then them lemonades be goddamn $12. And mm-hmm. I'm getting 3 and 4 of them.
Thirsty.
Instead of going back. So you know, I pay $12 for the first cup and $5 for every refill after.
Chick-fil-A lemonade is also made from cocaine, I believe. They don't tell us as well what's in it. Me and my cousin were having a conversation because we were like, when you make lemonade at home, it don't be yellow like the lemonade in the store. Why am I lemonade yellow? Like if I make pure lemonade at home with like lemons and water.
I'm sure it's got a little dye in it. You know, a little process. Everything got a little process.
It do. Everything has a little process something because I'd be like, mine be like that more of a clearish, foggy, clear color.
I really hate to say this, but it's kind of like if you put semen in water and shook it up.
It is.
That's what
homemade lemonade.
That's what it looks like.
But at the store, it'd be yellow. Explain it to me. Explain it to me.
Like, why y'all dying the lemonade? Just
y'all put food coloring in this lemonade? Be just real. Be real with me.
Hell. Let it be, honey.
Anyway, he took her to the fair. And they had a little fair day. And then he took her on a boat, honey. A boat. And he chartered the boat. And yeah. That's when things started to get a little lit.
Took her on a boat. And then what did the boat go to? Oh, to that little fancy lakefront house.
Mm-hmm.
Waterfront house, honey. And she was like, oh, he's spending all his little labor money
labor money, girl, because she sure told him, you didn't have to spend this money on me. You didn't have to do all of this. And he was like, I really didn't spend no money, but okay.
He's like, it's really nothing. It's nothing.
Like when I say it's nothing, it's really nothing. So they end up, you know, having sex at the house or whatever. The next morning, he comes and he wakes her up and he was like, hey, yo, like, get up. Let's eat breakfast because we got to talk. Like that. She's like, okay. So while she's getting breakfast, I'm going to call her the housekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
Because she keep the house, literally. The housekeeper comes in and basically she's like, oh, do you need some towels? You know, Jazz wanted to make sure there was some towels in here. And it was like, I think he's got that beeping fixed because his smoke detector had been going off. But he got some people coming to fix that. But we wanted to make sure there was some time. So basically, she just in there chit-chat, you know, chopping it up, regular, you know,
mm-hmm.
trying to make you feel comfortable. But Shira, like, while she's talking, Shira is, like, mentally calculating. Like, okay, every time I've been on FaceTime with Jazz at night, that beeping man.
I hear that beeping noise.
I hear that beeping noise every time he's at home. So, hold on. In this house, my friend has it. This exact house had been vacant for a while. And the owner just came back. And Chad's been gone. For a while. Hold the hell up. Hold the hell up. So when Jazz come up to be like, all right, you good? She's basically like, who the fuck are you? You fucking lied to me. Blah, blah, blah. Is this your shit? Is this your shit? And he was like, yeah, this is my house. Was that your boat? Yeah, this was, that was my boat. You fucking liar. And she jumps out the house and she runs and gets in her car and like drives away. And that's where the book ends.
But my thing is, did he lie?
He lied, did he just not tell you? It's a difference.
He just didn't tell her. Or you assumed. You really shouldn't give him an opportunity to tell, like, what he had. She had already drawn her own conclusions and assumed that he didn't have shit. And then when she
found out. Her issue, I think her biggest issue was that she spent so much time thinking. And you know how people think, like, I'm doing this good thing and I'm being this good person, and you really not. Like, let's just say if I assumed that you didn't have nothing because you always wore older clothes and older shoes. And I'm sitting up here, I'm like, I'm going to bring you some new shoes, and I'm going to bring you some of my shoes and some of my clothes and bring them to you. But when I get to your house, you're living in a mansion. The only reason why you wear older shoes or older clothes is because you're an artist and you don't want to get paint all over your good shit. Now I'm mad because in my mind, like, I was doing a good thing, and it's like, it's then pushed me into like, no, I was really just assuming something about you. Now I look like a fucking idiot. So she was basically mad at herself because she thought, yeah, I'm seeing past the fact that he ain't got shit and I'm dating him anyway. Look how far I done came. Look at me. Look how far this is growth.
And then when she ain't growing no form of fashion, honey, you still that same low budget bitch. It's thinking you a bull somebody.
Exactly. And the whole fact that the matter is that you thinking that just dating somebody like him is proving that you're like mature just shows how far you ain't matured at all.
Shows how far, like, how immature you are, girl.
It really do. And furthermore, Jazz didn't have to tell you shit about his life because he really didn't know you. And the moment that y'all relationship did move into a more intimate, you know, surrounding, he was telling you. He was getting ready to tell you.
He was showing you.
As soon as y'all relationship moved from just acquaintances to, I don't know what y'all was going for, friends who fucked, or I don't know.
But I mean, at the end of the day, when you got money, you can't just be out here just telling people all willy-nilly, but yeah, I got this, this, and this. Motherfuckers is crazy, honey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you finna be didn't punch me in the top of my head and took my goddamn credit card.
And now you all on Saks Fifth Avenue spending my shit. No, ma'am.
Your best life, and I'm in a damn ditch. Oh, no.
No, ma'am. I'm going to let you think I broke. That's why I always said, like, if I won the lottery, if I won $1 billion when it hit, baby, when I left the house to just go, like, live life, you honestly think I didn't have shit. Because for one, if you know me, any general form of capacity, what am I going to have on every day? Leggings and a t-shirt.
A t-shirt.
Leggings and t-shirt. That's period. Like, that's what I'm gonna have on. I'm probably gonna build me a house somewhere out in the country. And when I go to town, I'm gonna drive me a Nissan Altima.
Some regular.
But then when I get home, like, if I want to go somewhere, that's when I will probably live extravagantly, like on vacations and shit like that. Because that's
on travel, exactly. Mm-hmm.
But as far as like letting the regular people who see me every day know I got money, oh baby, fuck no. Because them the people who would have access to me every day.
You don't need to know nothing about my comings and goings.
Mm-mm.
Will you to punch me in the top of my head and take it from me? No, thank you.
And think that I got some money and come in there and try to rob me. Like, I don't know. My daddy made a comment one time. He was like, you think people will come up in here and try to punch you in the head and be like, open the safe. Like, this is a fucking movie. Bitch, I ain't got no money in the safe. My money's in the bank.
But I never
understood. You got no safe?
I never understood why people kept their money at the house. Like, what if your house catch on fire?
Open the safe. The safe?
What is safe?
1815? We ain't got no fucking safe.
sir, it is 2022. I have a debit card.
I have an ATM card. I got an American Express.
A credit card. I don't have no cash.
If I got a safety deposit box.
If like, I got cash, sir, it's on accident. Okay.
Any jewelry or any jewels or anything I got that even be worth some money is at the fucking safety deposit box.
At the bank. But I ain't blowing my money on jewelry either. I understand the jewelry has some extensive value. I could buy a watch and sell it for twice of what I paid for. I get that. But it's the buying the jewelry for me. So I don't
got to actually spend those thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on because no, that'll do it. I'm going to go ahead and head out.
Motherfuckers going to be mad as hell at me when they break into my shit and see I ain't got nothing in here but a bunch of Shein outfits. And Eagle shoes. That's it. I ain't got nothing name brand. The most name brand I got, baby, is a Nike. A little Jordan. I ain't got nothing expensive in here.
The most name brand? Now look at you looking at me, looking at you.
Now look at you finna go to jail because you done broken my shit.
And now you mad that I ain't got shit, so you finna shoot me because I ain't got shit.
Got to cry before you ball. And now look at the shit. We're sad because Jag got all the money in the world. She out here assuming that he ain't got shit. Thought she was doing a good deed by fucking with the hood nigga. Girl!
So now we gotta wait to see the second one. I mean, to read the second one, because now we gotta see what's gonna happen to Asher and Jazz. It's supposed to be coming out this summer. Summer
Asher, 2022. Asher didn't read the room. She did not read the room. Jazz strikes me as the type of person that wouldn't even allow you in his space if he didn't think he couldn't compete or compare.
Yeah.
Like, he strikes me as that type of person that, you know, I don't compete where I don't compare.
And he was dating these humble little women in terms of finding, like, a wife and a partner as Jazz, you know, so that when he did bring them, he know that they were genuine women.
Right, like, you like me for me and not for what I can do for you.
You like me as a laborer.
But I feel like he, well, you know what? Thinking back on it, what's the girl named Cynthia? The one she said was built like a linebacker?
Yeah.
He knew about the lakefront house. But she also wasn't, like, invested in him or liked him because of what he had. She wasn't closed-minded like a Shira. But I guess this sure came from, you know, prominence.
Well, I basically, he had made up his mind that Asher made up her mind anyway. So who am I to change her mind?
Right. He wasn't about to fight with her to be like, well, I got this, this, and the third.
Mm-hmm. No.
I like that about Jazz. I appreciate the, you know, him not boasting and bragging about what the fuck he had. He could have.
Shut her shit down.
He really,
you know what else? And this is very, very small and very, very insignificant in the whole book. Like, you know, Shear's a dancer or whatever. She says she wants to open up her own club, but a club where dance people could come and, you know, dance troops can come and dance. Who would want to go to that? Who would want to go and sit and watch people dance all night? It's kind of like when you're in college and the sororities and fraternities keep doing, like, you know,
they stroll all night,
and you're like, I can't even enjoy the party because what are you doing? That's what her club sound like to me. And I was like, no, nobody's gonna come to that. That's gonna fail.
Like a club just for dancers. And I mean, at the end of the day, she was doing a jazz club dancing, right? And mm-hmm. She came in there to perform. So,
like, it's fine if they somebody's only breaking out and performing every once in a while, like maybe once a week. And then, you know, the rest of the time it's an actual club. But the fact that the whole club is centered around dance troops dancing, let's just buy a stage. Just buy a studio and charge tickets at the door.
I'm going to say, just open a studio. Just open a studio.
And or just open a theater with a stage and charge people to come in and watch the performances every week. Because I'm not sure what we're doing here. It's a good concept, but it's not going to fall through. Next. Think of something else. Go back to the drawing board.
Sure. Try again. I see what you are trying to do. It's not working. Put Calandria down and stop. I wish y'all could see her picture in Calandria.
I don't pester her.
Oh, she is.
She's my daughter. She loves spending time with her mommy. She's going to be at the door crying if I ever put her out.
Kelly, blink twice if you need help.
Do you need help? She, no.
I think I saw her blink 7 times. That's going to be the name of this week's episode. Hashtag Free Calandria.
Spit on the mic, Kelly. Boom, chicka, boom, chicka, boom, chicka. All right.
All right, y'all. It's fine. I've had such a lovely time with you guys today.
Check us out next week.
Brittany has crossed the line to the point of no return.
Check us out next week with the Calandria girl.
Calandria, please.
Calandria, please. On between the sheets. Boom, 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 boom. And we're out. We're out. We're out. We're out. If I could ever find a mouse to hit the end button. We're out.